Wolf News is next on KIXI Seattle. The time now is 10 p.m.
CBS News. Honduras is still counting the dead and assessing the damage after the strike of Hurricane Fifi. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. One government official called it the worst moment in the history of Honduras. Relief teams from the U.S. and several other countries have been arriving in Honduras all weekend to try to help the victims of the hurricane and flooding. Thousands are dead, tens of thousands are homeless. Damage now estimated at $500 million. More from Tom LeCue in Tegucigalpa.
Hurricane Fifi hit Chamul near the northern Honduran coast the hardest. 2,700 bodies have been counted there, and according to Juan Batista Vasquez of the National Honduran Radio, many others are buried under mud. Guatemala has recovered bodies washed onto its shores from swollen Honduran rivers. He said there are so many bodies in Chamul that they're being burned instead of buried. The floods forced poisonous snakes into the open, and some of the fleeing refugees have died from their venom. The latest official count here at National Defense Headquarters in the capital city is 4,000 known dead, 3,000 missing and presumed dead. The final toll, officials predict, will be much higher. Tom LeCue for CBS News in Tegucigalpa, Honduras.
President Ford will travel to Detroit on Monday to address the World Energy Conference. The president also plans a meeting with Detroit Mayor Coleman Young. Sunday night, the president and Mrs. Ford went to a Washington party in honor of House Republican leader John Rhodes. Earlier in the day, the president went to church and then played golf. House Speaker Carl Albert says he would not give President Ford very high marks for leadership. Albert says the Ford administration should begin moving more decisively on inflation and other economic problems. Albert says the president better act now if he wants to save some Republican congressmen in the November elections. Albert was interviewed on NBC's Meet the Press. More news in a moment.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love. But give your gold to contact the sooner the better.
6 or 3 or 1.
Please don't give me problems. I'm catching a common cold. Sneezing, drips, congestion.
Give your cold a contact. For up to 12 hours, continuous relief of those symptoms. You'd need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 ounces of cold's liquid, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 contact.
I know, the tiny time pills.
Right. Both the others are things for aches and fever, and the liquid, something for coughs, not found in contact. Your cold, your choice.
Sneezing, drips, congestion? I'll take the contact.
Do you hear your cold? Yeah.
6 or 3 or 1. Take contact. Only as directed.
Former President Nixon enters a Long Beach, California hospital on Monday for treatment of the phlebitis in his left leg. Mr. Nixon will be hospitalized at least 3 days. Newsweek magazine reports the former president will be named as a defendant in a civil suit to be filed this week by Morton Halperin, a former aide to the National Security Council. The magazine says the suit stems from wiretapping of Halperin's home, which went on for some 21 months during and after his government service. Newsweek calls the suit the most serious yet involving the former president and says Mr. Halperin charges that Mr. Nixon stated in a letter to the Senate Foreign Relations Committee that he personally directed the surveillance, including the wiretapping. This weekend, man learned more about the planet Mercury thanks to a spaceship named Mariner 10. David Dow reports from Pasadena, California.
Scientists at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory continue poring over 500 pictures beamed to Earth during this weekend's flyby of the planet Mercury by the Mariner 10 spacecraft. So far, the photos tend to confirm findings from Mariner's last Mercury photo session in late March, namely that Mercury, like the Moon, was bombarded by meteorites billions of years ago, leaving giant craters. And of perhaps more significance in tracing the origin of the solar system, Mercury's huge scarps, or cliffs, stretching 1,000 miles or more. Mariner scientist Bruce Murray explains.
The scarps are important because they may represent compression, which is like the Earth. In fact, what we see on Mercury now may in some ways be similar to what was true on the Earth billions of years ago before the atmosphere and water eroded away the records.
If all goes well, Mariner 10, now speeding away from Mercury 105 million miles from Earth, will make a return mission next March, adding to the 40% of the planet already photographed. David Dell, CBS News, Pasadena.
There will not be a teacher strike in Chicago on Monday. The Chicago Teachers Union and the Chicago Board of Education have reached tentative agreement on a new contract. The union had authorized a strike tomorrow by its 27,000 members unless agreement came Sunday. A strike could have left 500,000 students in the Chicago schools without teachers. Jacqueline Suzanne, whose racy novels about sordid suburban lives of sex and drugs, died Saturday night in New York after a long battle with cancer. She was 53 years old. Miss Suzanne's novel sold 17 million copies. Her most famous book was Valley of the Dolls, published in 1966. Bantam Books, which published the works of Miss Suzanne, estimated her books grossed more than $60 million in sales. Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The weather outlook continued fair and warm through Tuesday. Patchy morning fog, the highs lower 80s, lows in the mid-50s, and no chance of rain. In downtown Seattle, currently at 71 degrees. Briefly in sports, in the National Football League today, Miami over Buffalo 24-16, Oakland 27, Kansas City 7, Denver and Pittsburgh tied at 35 each, Los Angeles 24, New Orleans nothing, St. Louis beat Washington 17-10, Miami edged Detroit 7-6, New England 28, the Giants 20, the Jets 23, Chicago 21, San Diego over Cincinnati 20-17, Green Bay beat Baltimore 20-13. San Francisco 16, Atlanta 10, and Cleveland down Houston 20-7. Major League Baseball activity in the National League. Los Angeles beat San Diego 6-5, while San Francisco defeated Cincinnati 6-0. St. Louis beat Chicago 6-5. New York down Pittsburgh 4-0. In the American League, the New York Yankees over Cleveland. Baltimore beat Boston. And Chicago defeated Oakland.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to the world of the uncanny, the eerie, the unearthly. Strange things happen. They have happened to me and will again. They've happened to you and will again. They happened to Norman Meredith, but they will never, never happen to him again. Because, well, listen.
Ask Norman. Don't you know me?
How would I know you? We've never met.
Oh, yes, we have.
Yeah. No.
Norman, dearest heart,
mm-hmm.
I am the woman of your dreams. Your dream woman.
Well, why? Why do you hold that knife? That long, sharp carving knife?
To kill you, Norman. To kill you.
Our mystery drama, The Dream Woman, is based on the classic by Wilkie Collins and was especially adapted for the Mystery Theater by George Lother and stars Kevin McCarthy. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Sinoff, the sinus medicines. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Excuse me, sir.
Yeah?
I would like to ask a deceptively simple question.
Okay.
I say deceptive because few people seem to know the answer.
Oh, go ahead.
Are you ready?
Yeah, ready as rain.
Okay.
No, wait. I think that should be right as rain.
Oh, well.
No, wait. Make that ready as I'll ever be, okay? Ready as I'll ever be.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, the question is this.
Yeah, go ahead.
What happens this time of year?
That's it.
That's the question.
That's the $64,000 question. That's the one. The one for all the marbles, right? The one that's on everybody's lips, huh?
Yes.
That's the question. Well,
goodness.
As everyone should know, what happens this time of year is that Buick dealers are giving great deals on 1974 Buicks. which of course means that this time of year may very well be the best chance you'll ever have to buy a Buick. From the thrifty but surprisingly elegant Apollo to the dashing full-size LeSabre to the Electra, which surprisingly enough is the second largest selling luxury car in America.
Know it all.
Stanley Myron Handelman.
You know what question really bugged me when I was a kid? What do you want to be when you grow up? I mean, how was I supposed to know? I was just a kid. I wanted to play ball with my friends, Weasel, Scoot, and Crazy Legs Beck. Besides, what was so terrible about someday being a 58-year-old stickball player? Actually, back then, we didn't have much choice. Either you were going on to a four-year college or you were going nowhere. But today, it's different. Today, you can have a great career with only a year or two of technical education and yet make as much as somebody who puts in 4 years at college. Their careers as technicians in fields like engineering, health service, chemistry, environmental control, even nuclear research. For the facts, send for a free booklet called 25 Technical Careers in 2 years or Less. Write Careers, Washington, D.C., 20202.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council. Is a dream? From where does it come? And why? Wiser men than I say that dreams rise like mist out of various levels of the subconscious and the unconscious. But what is the subconscious? What is the unconscious? No one really knows. Oh, there are theories, yes. But no one can say with certainty why we dream. Why, for instance, Norman Meredith dreamed that certain dream.
You say you're the woman of my dreams, my dream woman. If that's so, why would you want to kill me with that knife?
So you can stay in my world always. Be mine always.
No, I don't understand.
Only when you are dead, physically dead, can your spirit live, really live.
And you come from the spirit world?
A spirit world. One of countless spirit worlds. Oh, join me in it now, dearest Norman. Dearest heart. Join me now.
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Norman!
Yes!
Norman!
Yes. I must
you
kill
don't.
You, Norman. I'll
don't.
Kill you, Norman.
No, Stanley, please don't.
Norman, wake up, Norman, darling, you've been having a dream, a nightmare.
Agnes, it's you.
Of course, dear. Yes, now relax.
Oh, that woman. Murderous woman with a knife.
Dream, sweetheart. Nothing but a terrible dream.
No.
Now, Norman.
I saw her so clearly. Her and the knife. A long carving knife. Razor sharp. Gleaming. And she struck at me with it. Struck. And struck. And struck.
Oh, Norman.
I saw it all clearly. Vividly. She was tall. Long blonde hair that fell below her shoulders. A voluptuous figure. And the eyes, light blue. Hazel eyes flecked with green. Oh, heaven help me. I'll never, never be able to get her out of my mind. Oh, she and that knife.
Now, Norman, I can tell you this. As a psychiatrist, I have a number of patients who are troubled with nightmares, often with the same recurring nightmare, but they never come true, Norman. And neither will yours.
No. What about that feeling? How do you explain that feeling that the woman last night, in that dream last night, seems as real to me today as she did then? That's why, even though I know how terribly busy you are, I had to see you today. She stays there. She won't leave my head.
Never too busy to fit an old friend into my schedule, but then... Oh, excuse me. Yes, nurse? Tell Miss Lawrence I won't be more than another 5 minutes. Let's see, where was I? Oh, yes. I was about to say, I'm all but positive you won't have this dream again, Norman. Frankly, I think you've been driving yourself too hard.
All right, now what's the meaning of this, Dr. Gerstein?
Miss Lawrence.
You have kept me waiting more than 20 minutes.
I'm sorry, Miss Lawrence.
You're sorry. I've got a hairdresser appointment at 3, and you're sorry? Look, Buster, you may be the great psychiatrist, Dr. Arnold Gerstein, but I am Sandy Lawrence, and nobody pushes me around, okay?
Nobody's pushing you around, Miss Lawrence.
You don't call making me wait 20 minutes pushing me around?
No. Not when an emergency comes up.
See the emergency?
Miss Lawrence, if you'll just be patient another minute or so.
Oh, all right, another minute, but no more, you understand? And I mean it. What's the matter with him? Why is he staring at me like that? Hey, what's with you, Buster? Give me the willies.
Yeah, 1 minute longer, Miss Lawrence. I won't be more than another minute. What is with you, Norman? You were staring at Miss Lawrence as if she had shocked you.
Who is she, Arnold?
Her name is Sandra Lawrence.
What does she do?
Well, she claims to be an actress, but I don't think that's quite the profession she's in. Why were you staring at her like that?
Didn't you notice?
Notice what?
Tall, sexy, long blonde hair, hazel eyes flecked with green.
Oh, yes. She resembles the woman you saw in your dream.
No, not resembles, Arnold. She is the woman in my dream.
Yeah?
My name is Norman Meredith, Miss Lawrence.
So?
I was wondering if I might talk with you for a few minutes.
Well, about what? Are you selling something?
No. I'm not a salesman. Nothing like that. Could I come in?
Well, I don't know. Somebody give you my name? A client of mine?
Well, I'm a friend of Dr. Gersten's. I saw you in his office this afternoon.
Oh, hey. You're the character that kept staring at me.
I apologize for that. It was very rude of me.
Yeah, well, that's okay. I mean, lots of guys stare at me.
Could I?
Yeah, sure. Come on in.
I followed you after you left Arnold's, Dr. Gerson's office.
You followed me?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Hey. You got it bad. Unless you got some other reason for playing bloodhound. How about a drink first, huh?
First?
Oh, well, if you got it that bad.
No. I don't think you understand. I want to talk to you.
Talk to me. Well, if that's the way you get your kicks.
Tell me about yourself, Miss Lawrence. You know, tell me all about yourself.
You're real flaky. You just want to talk?
I want to know all about you. All about you. Who you are, where you come from, what you do for a living.
Oh, come on. You must be kidding. What I do for a living. Mm. Hey, Norman, you put me away. You really do.
Dr. Gersten said you're an actress.
Yeah, you could put it that way. I put on a real good act.
Well, if you mean what I think you mean...
Well, what else would I mean? I mean, you can't be as square as you sound. Or can you? Look, will you stop staring at me like that? I really don't like being stared at.
I'm sorry. I can't help myself. You fascinate me. Miss Lawrence.
Sandy. That's for Sandra.
Sandra. I dreamed of you last night.
Uh-huh. Well, lots of guys do.
Men who've never met you.
Well, okay. So you dreamed of me last night. I mean, you know, what do you want? An Academy Award?
No. I want to get to know you better.
Come on, Normie. What's the angle, huh?
No angle. I told you. You fascinate me.
Look, Normie, you level with me. You level with me right now, or just blow, okay?
I am leveling with you. When I say you fascinate me, I mean, well, there was the dream to begin with, and then meeting you, a dream woman in the flesh in Gerson's office, there's something so strange about it. About it and you.
Oh, now, I'm strange.
No, it's more than that. It's you. I'm drawn to you.
waiting for you outside the medical center. I kept telling myself I was crazy
yeah,
and that I ought
are.
To just put you out of my mind, go about my business, but I couldn't do it. All the time that I was following you, waiting for you, I didn't want to, but I had to. I had to, you see. I was incapable of doing anything else. It must be like being an alcoholic or a drug addict. It's a compulsion. I have to be with you.
Well, whatever you got, you sure got it bad. Now, Normie, dearest heart, my time is valuable. It's $50 an hour.
Dearest heart.
Hmm?
Dearest heart. You called me that in the dream, dearest heart.
Oh, yeah? Oh, how about that? How about the $50?
Well, sure.
Okay, in advance.
Oh, sure, anything you say. Sandy? Here.
Put it on the table, Normie. Attaboy. Okay. What'll we talk about?
I don't know. Anything. Anything, as I said. I want to know all about you. Tell me about yourself.
Okay, how's about I slip into something more comfortable first?
Hmm? All right.
You fix yourself a drink. The bar's over there.
Thanks. You got any scotch?
Yeah, try the shelf under the bar.
Okay. Oh. Good Lord.
What's the matter?
This knife. This carving knife. Where did you get it?
How do I know? I had it for years. Oh, you fascinated by knives, too?
No. No, not knives. A knife. This one.
Well, I said it before, and I'll say it again, Normie. You put me away. Divorce. You want a divorce, Norman?
Yes, Agnes, I do.
To marry this tramp?
Yes.
I can't really believe you're saying this. I can't understand your being fascinated by a woman who resembles the woman you saw in your dream.
She is the woman in my dream. I'm in love with her, Agnes.
In love? With the kind of woman you tell me she is?
Hmm?
Norman, in love?
Hopelessly, helplessly, compulsively. I'm gripped by something out of my control. I've tried to fight it, to free myself of it, and I can't. Agnes, I can't.
But my darling, you've got to. I love you. Yes, and you love me. I know you do.
Yes.
We've been married for 20 years,
yes.
Happily married.
What?
You can't throw years away like old shoes. Destroy everything we've built together. Everything we've come to mean to each other.
I'm powerless to do anything else.
Well, I have not.
What do you mean?
I mean that you're suffering from some sort of aberration. You're sick, Norman. Mentally sick. And I am not letting you do anything as stupid, as disastrous as marrying that girl. I will not divorce you, Norman.
Agnes.
No, Norman. In a few months, it'll all be over. This sudden romance of yours will be dead. Stone cold dead.
No. In a few months, I will be stone cold dead. There are, we are told, dreams of precognition. Dreams which foretell events that will happen in the future. There are, in fact, many such cases on record. Explain them? I can't. The truth is, no one can. Not even Norman Meredith. I'll be back shortly with Act Two.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablets?
No, sinus medicine. Sinus tablets. Helps the headache and the pressure.
Oh, you mean sign-off.
Exactly.
Headache pain is one thing. A sinus headache is something else. Sometimes your whole face can seem to throb with pain. You want relief. Take sign-off tablets. S-I-N-E-O-F-F. The sinus medicine that gives you a full dose of pure aspirin, plus a sinus drainer. Sign-off. The sinus medicine that helps relieve sinus pain while you drain. And sign-off doesn't stop there. Have you tried Sinoff Sinus Spray, the fastest known form of sinus congestion relief? It works in seconds. That's Sinoff Sinus Spray. When sinus flares up, use Sinoff tablets and spray, only as directed.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sinoff.
Exactly.
Sinoff, the sinus medicines in the bright red box. To learn good jobs. And today, a qualified man can choose the direction he wants to go in the Marine Corps. Choose the kind of skills he wants to learn, like computers, aircraft maintenance, or electronics, radio communications, food services, aviation technology. You name it, Marines do it. If you want to learn it, the Marines will teach you skills, responsibility, and leadership in any field you can handle. Remember, qualified men can choose their own directions in the Marine Corps. Skills to learn, careers to build in many directions. The Marines are looking for a few good men who want to choose their own directions, want to learn good jobs, want to be Marines.
We have asked, what is a dream? And come up with anything but a satisfactory answer. We might ask now, what is a compulsion? And find the answer equally unsatisfactory. A compulsion is, of course, the doing of something in spite of yourself. The doing of it against all the dictates of intelligence, reason, sanity. And that is precisely what Norman Meredith, well-to-do stockbroker, finds himself doing in the suite of a palatial hotel in Rome, Italy, close onto 4 o'clock, of a summer morning.
What am I doing here? 4 o'clock in the morning in a Roman hotel, walking up and down, pacing the floor and talking to myself. Talking to myself like some kind of nut. Some kind of... Ah, the prodigal returns.
Oh, still awake, Norman?
That's right. I haven't been to sleep. Where have you been, Sandy? And... that package. What's that package?
Oh, a little item I picked up in the flea market around 2 this a.m.
Flea markets aren't open at 2 in the morning.
Well, they are if you know the right people.
Huh? And what creeping things have you been running all over Rome with this time? Answer me, Sandy.
Oh, Normie, flake off. I don't have to answer you about it.
Oh, yes, you do. No. No, you don't. I have no hold on you. We're not married.
You still have no hold on me, married or not.
True enough, I guess. True enough.
So anytime you want out, Normie, you just say so. Anytime you've had enough of me.
Oh, I'll never have enough of you, and you know it. Damn you, you know it. How do you know it, Sandy?
Normie, come on. We're not going to hash that all over again, are we? Not at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm deadbeat. Look, I'm going to go to bed. You?
No. I'm not sleeping.
When are you ever? You know something, Normie? I don't think you sleep more than an hour or two in 24.
Mm.
What are you, an insomniac or something? Are you afraid of the dream?
The dream?
Yeah, the one you had about me.
No. Oh, I'm not afraid. Why should I be?
Well, I don't know, except you never told me what it was. And you're scared to death.
Doc. Of what, for Pete's sake?
Me.
You? Would I be here in Rome with you if I was scared of you? Would I have taken you all over Europe these past few weeks if I was scared of you?
Oh, not me. Not scared of me in the flesh. Me in the dream. Come on, Normie. What happened in the dream? What did I do?
Go to bed, Sandy.
Okay. But that must have been some dream. Oh, hey! Let me show you what I picked up in the flea market.
I'm not interested in flea market junk, Sandy.
This isn't junk. It's got some kind of royal crest on the handle, and Milo said he's the one of the guys I was with. He knows steel, and he said the steel in this knife was the best Toledo money could buy. Hey, Norman, what's the matter? You're white as a corpse.
Why?
Why did you buy that knife?
I saw it. I liked it.
Why? Why did you like it?
What's wrong with me wanting a carving knife?
Everything. There's everything wrong with you wanting a knife, a carving knife. What do you need with one? Do you cook? No. Are you even ever in the kitchen? No. So what do you want with a carving knife?
You want to know the truth? I've been sort of thinking of taking up cooking, maybe, okay?
You? You learn to cook? You can't boil water.
All right, Normie, you don't have to rub it in. Look, I just thought, you're really a nice guy. You're square, but you're nice. And I know I've been giving you a hard time. I mean, I'm out on the town all hours of the night living it up, and, well, we'll be leaving for Paris tomorrow, and they've got a real out-of-sight cooking school there, and I thought if I could just make things up to you. What do you care?
I care a lot. If you're saying that you're thinking of maybe settling down, of acting like a wife when we're married, that is, and don't worry, Agnes will give me a divorce. Well, if that's what you've got in mind, I care. Is that what you're thinking?
I guess so. Yeah, I guess that's it. What else would have made me decide to learn to cook? What else would have made me buy this knife?
Sandy, will you snap it up? We've got less than 40 minutes to make the plane to Paris.
I'm trying to find that knife.
Knife? What knife?
The carving knife, the one I picked up last night at the flea market. I left it right here on the table when I went to bed, and now it's gone.
Forget it. I'll get you another.
It's got to be here somewhere. You didn't take it,
did you? No, me. What would I want with a carving knife? You're the one who's going to take the cooking lessons.
Well, if you didn't take it, where could it have got to?
I don't know, and I don't care. Now, come on, or we'll miss that plane.
The usual, Arnold?
Hmm? Oh, yes, thanks, Agnes. The scotch and water, easy on the scotch.
Right.
Arnold, you're a psychiatrist. What's wrong with Norman? What's happened to him? Why is he so fascinated by this cheap, common tramp?
I can't answer that. No doctor could. Without at least months of investigation, of talks with Norman, of treatments.
But you must have some theory.
I don't. Some things that happen in this world are beyond us, beyond our understanding. Now consider, Norman had a dream in which a woman tried to stab him to death. The next day, he meets in the flesh the self-same woman of that dream.
So he said.
Norman is no fool, Agnes. He meets this woman who tried to kill him in his dream and is irresistibly drawn to her. Now, is Norman mad? He is not. What then is the answer to all this?
Who are you?
How can you ask, Norman? Don't you know me?
How would I know you? We've never met.
Oh, yes, we have. Norman, dearest heart, I am the woman of your dreams. Your dream woman.
Why do you hold that knife, that long, sharp carving knife?
To kill you, Norman. To kill you.
Why would you want to kill me with that knife?
So you can stay in my world always. Be mine always.
I don't understand.
Oh, dearest heart, join me. Now!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Don't
die,
no,
Norman!
I can't
die.
Escape the knife!
Die!
No! I've got the knife away from you. Now, you die!
Norman! Huh? Norman, huh? Stop it!
Die.
Stop it!
Die, German!
Norman, you're crazy. You've gone crazy. Die. Norman!
What?
Sandy? What are you, on acid or something? You're having a bad trip.
No, you know better than to ask. Where am I? What happened?
We're in Paris. We're in Paris, France. We've been here for a week. It's 2:30 in the morning, and you've been having a nightmare, and boy, you nearly killed me.
Oh, no.
Oh,
no.
Yeah, look at me. You've ripped my gown.
Gown? I'm in pajamas. You're wearing a gown?
I just got in. Came into the bedroom, and there you were moaning and tossing. I tried to wake you up, and you attacked me. You grabbed me. You kept trying to... like you were trying to stab me.
You said you'd be home early. You said you wanted to be rested fresh for tomorrow's ceremony at the Curtin Rouge Cooking School.
Yeah, well, the people I was with, they decided to make a night of it, you know? But they're still at it. Me, I broke away, so you see, I am home early, Normie.
And stop calling me that. I've asked you a dozen times. Stop calling me Normie.
I'm sorry. Honest, I am. Norman. I don't know what it is with me. I mean, I try. I really try to be the way you want me to be, but I don't know what it is. And it's funny because at first I didn't care what you thought, how you felt, but being with you all these weeks, you're really smooth, Norman. You really are. And I'd like to be more than I am for your sake, but there's just something in me. I just can't control it.
You too.
What do you mean, me too?
Oh, you can't help yourself. I can't help myself. We're in the same boat, Sandy, and I have the feeling it's just begun to sink.
Alors, puis-je demander votre attention, mesdames et messieurs, s'il vous plaît? Ah, merci. Today, as the maître of this particular class in cooking here at Le Cordon Rouge, it is, as you know, my pleasure to award prizes to the three best students. I'm delighted to see that Monsieur Norman Meredith has accompanied the beautiful Sandra Lawrence today, because to her goes the first prize. Ah! come forward, Sandy. Venez ici, hein? And accept your award. Avec mes compliments, chérie.
Oh, thank you, dear maître. Uh-huh. Thank you very much. Shall I open it so everybody can see what it is?
But yes, but of course.
Okay. Oh, hey. It's a knife. A beautiful carving knife.
Take notice, chérie. The name Le Cordon Rouge inscribed on the handle, and your own name on the blade. Monsieur Meredith, are you not proud of Miss Lawrence? You... Monsieur Meredith.
Hey, Norman.
Are you ill?
Norman?
No, I just need some fresh air. Excuse me.
You heard me, Normie. Where is the knife?
How do I know?
Now, you listen to me. The first time I met you, when you came to my place in New York, you acted real funny when you found that carving knife on the bar. You remember? And somehow I never saw that knife again. It just disappeared. Because you took it.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, I don't?
No.
Then what happened to the carving knife I picked up at the flea market in Rome? I know I left it on that table when I went to bed that night, and it wasn't there when I got up, and somehow it disappeared forever.
Just... why you're accusing me?
Because you took them and you hid them, or you threw them away, or you did something. And you've done the same thing with my Cordon Rouge knife.
Not me.
Then where is it? Now, you took the knife, Normie. You've taken them all. I don't care about the other two. But this one, it means something to me.
So you won first prize in a cooking class. What's the big deal?
You can say that to me? Listen, I went to that class so I could learn to cook for you. Not for me.
Oh.
And I succeeded. I won first prize. Me, Sandy Lawrence, first prize. I don't care about the knife. I care about what it stands for. And it stands for the fact that... that I'm falling in love with you, Norman.
Oh, Sandy baby.
Don't Sandy baby me. I want my knife. Now, where is it? What have you done with it?
I threw it away, Sandy.
Where?
In the river, in the Seine.
Then it's gone.
I'm afraid so, honey.
Norman, how could you do this? Why did you do it?
Well,
why?
Oh, well, I guess you might as well know, but because of the dream.
What, the dream about me?
Yes.
What in heaven's name can the dream have to do with knives?
In the dream, you try to kill me with a knife.
I try to kill you?
With a carving knife. Exactly like the knives I took and threw away. Long, gleaming, razor sharp.
Are you telling me that I'm going to kill you? Stab you to death with a carving knife?
Yes, that's what I'm afraid of, Sandy. It's why I've been throwing away the knives, the carving knife that you somehow come up with again and again.
You know something? You were out of your head. Just because that first prize is a carving knife is no reason. I'll get it. Monsieur Philippe.
May I come in, Sandy?
Yeah, of course.
Thank you. Monsieur Meredith.
Hello.
Can I give you a drink?
Oh, no, merci, no. I stay only a minute or two. The fact of the matter is I am somewhat embarrassed to be here.
Embarrassed?
Something has happened which I do not understand. This morning I presented you with a beautiful carving knife. First prize for your work in my cooking class.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, this afternoon, a man came to me. He had been fishing on the banks of the Seine, and his hook had caught on this.
A knife. A carving knife.
Oui, Monsieur Meredith. The knife I gave you, Sandy, as first prize. It is, shall I say, a puzzle to me, an embarrassment, because the knife could have got into the river only one way. It must have been thrown there, and, well, alors, what I'm trying to say is if you do not want the knife...
No!
Hey, Monsieur Meredith, he has fainted.
Yeah.
Is it something with knives? When I gave it to you this morning, it turned white, looked sick. And now, do knives bother him?
They
what?
They kill him, Monsieur Philippe. They kill him.
Well, all things considered, I think they'd kill me, too. It is curious, this affinity Sandra Lawrence has for carving knives. Or they for her. I'll return shortly with Act Three.
You've seen the Budweiser commercials on television, and maybe you've wondered how long people have been putting that famous Bud label on things. Well, not as long as the brewers of Bud have been putting things on the label. Things like a list of Bud's most important ingredients. Quote, brewed by our original process from the choicest hops, rice, and best barley malt. And things like the following statement. This is the famous Budweiser beer. We know of no brand produced by any other brewer which costs so much to brew and age. Our exclusive Beechwood aging produces a taste, a smoothness, and a drinkability you'll find in no other beer at any price. Unquote. Yes, brewing beer right does make a difference. Read the Bud label. Taste the king of beers, and you'll agree, when you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Meta Business Bureau knows.
I'm going to rent this apartment, but now the landlord wants a deposit equal to 2 months' rent to cover damage. I wonder if there's anything I should do to protect myself.
There certainly is, Lou.
Who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau. Deposits are usual, but before you move into that apartment, go through it thoroughly and list any and all damage. Prepare this list in duplicate and have your landlord sign both copies. And before you sign that lease, find out what sort of repairs you will be responsible for and which are to be paid for by the landlord.
Then when you move, this list helps you to solve the mystery of who's to pay for what, right?
Right.
Canned
dreams come true? Do they ever? If they do, is Norman Meredith fated to be stabbed to death by the woman who haunts his dreams? The woman he finds irresistible in real life?
Sandy.
Yes, Norman?
Tell me where it is.
Well, what is?
You know what. A knife.
Norman, we said we wouldn't talk about it anymore, remember?
I remember you said we wouldn't. When I came into that hotel room in Paris and asked you what you'd done with the knife, you said we wouldn't talk about it anymore. Not me.
I threw it away.
You're a liar.
Norman.
You wouldn't have thrown it away. It meant too much to you. You've hidden it.
All right. I hid it.
Get it.
What, so you can throw it away? No.
Listen to me.
No, Norman, you listen to me for once.
I'm listening.
Now, the first time we met, I was... Well, not what I am now. I was kind of tough. I was kind of coarse. Kind of person I don't want to be anymore because you showed me another kind of life.
Where is the knife?
Listen to me, please. Norman, I'm trying real hard to be the kind of woman who'd be worthy of you, you know? The kind of woman you could really love. The kind of woman you'd marry.
We'll talk about all this later. Right now, I want that knife.
Norman, forget the
knife. Sandy, you get me that knife. Wherever you hit it, get it and give it to me, or so help me out.
All right. Here. You want it? Take it.
Threw it at me. Another inch and it would have...
You wanted it, Norman. You got it. Pick it up.
I'll pick it up. That's the last you'll ever see of it.
There's plenty of others. There's no trick buying a carving
knife.
Don't
buy no knives. I'm going to get rid of this, and it's the last carving knife we'll ever see in this house.
We'll see about that.
I'm telling
Slam,
you...
Ma'am, I'm telling you...
Nothing. You're telling me nothing.
Norman!
No! No! Nothing. Understand. I killed her. Stabbed her to death. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense.
Hello. Agnes, all I can say is you were right from the first, right? It was just an aberration or infatuation, maybe. I don't know. Anyway... It's over. Will you take me back?
Of course, Norman. I never really let you go. But...
Yes?
Are you sure it's over? Done with? Are you absolutely sure?
Oh, yes. I left her this morning. I told her that everything was over between us. Everything.
What did she say?
Nothing.
She must have said something.
Nothing.
Norman, darling.
I'm sorry. Nurse.
Oh, you poor dear. You're worn out on the ragged edge.
Done for. Through.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes, sir. I ruined our marriage. My business.
Now, that's nonsense. Never. Our marriage is...
Never be the same. You know it won't, Agnes. Oh, I did. Leaving you, running off with her.
Well, you were caught up in something beyond your control. Too powerful for you to handle. But it's over now. Put it behind you. Begin again.
I can't.
But it isn't the end for us, Norman.
It is for her.
What?
It is the end for her.
You mean Sandra Lawrence? Well... Yes, in a way, I suppose it is. But her kind, she'll get by. She'll start living again.
Don't say that.
But darling, she will. It isn't all over for her either.
It is. I killed her, Agnes.
What kind of nonsense are you talking? Norman. Norman, we're not going to talk anymore. Not now. I've got to go out for an hour or two, but while I'm gone, I want you to rest. Now, lie down for a while. Will you do that?
Yes.
And if you feel like a snack, ask Nora to fix something for you.
Nora?
Oh, I haven't had a chance to tell you. We have a maid, Nora. Wonderful cook, too. So if you want something, just ask her. You'll find her in the kitchen. She loves it, so she practically hibernates there. What is it, dear?
This isn't a dream, is it? That I'm home with you. I'm not dreaming, am I, Agnes?
If you are, it's no nightmare, darling.
Isn't it? Isn't it?
I'm afraid I told a little lie, Arnold. I just said I had to go out for an hour or so, but of course I came straight here to see you.
I'm glad you did, Agnes. I'm as worried about Norman as you are.
He talked about Sandra Lawrence as if he had killed her. I mean, really killed her. When, of course, what he meant was that he felt that he'd ended her happiness, ruined her future.
Oh, excuse me, my nurse. Yes? Captain who? The police. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Put him through. Hey, yes, Captain, this is Dr. Gerstein. Yes? Well, she was a patient of mine. She... What's that? Stabbed to death? Oh, good heavens, I'd... Yes, 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 of course, I'll answer any questions you may have. No, not at all. Goodbye. Agnes, you said you left Norman at home?
Yes.
We'd better go there at once.
Why? Arnold, what is it?
That was the police. Sandra Lawrence was found this afternoon in her apartment, stabbed to death.
Oh. Norman is telling the truth. He did kill her?
It seems likely, Agnes. All too likely.
Norman? Norman? Oh, he's probably in the bedroom asleep.
I'll come with you.
No, bed's empty. The kitchen. I told him if he wanted a snack to ask Nora. Nora, have you seen... Nora!
Easy, easy, Agnes.
And Norman on the floor. Knife in his chest.
Hang on to yourself.
Nora's sitting there at the kitchen table, blood all over. Norman, dead. Stabbed to death. Arnold, is this happening? Am I going out of my mind?
Come with me.
Norman.
Please, Agnes, come with me.
Arnold.
Now, you just sit here in the living room and let me handle things out there. Nora, that is your name, isn't it, Nora?
Yes.
What happened here?
I don't know. I can't make any sense out of it.
What happened?
He came here into the kitchen. I had just started dinner. He stared at me like I was some kind of ghost or something. And then he flung himself at me, grabbed me by the throat, and he was screaming, "I'll kill you once and for all. I'll kill you and be rid of you." I grabbed for something to protect myself with. The carving knife was handy. I grabbed that. And the next thing I knew, he was there on the floor with a knife in his chest. Dead. I killed him. I killed him. But he would have killed me if I had. Why? Why would he have killed you?
Agnes, go back into the living room. Leave this to me.
I want to know. My husband didn't even know you, Nora. Why would he have wanted to kill you? I don't understand.
I do. Or do I?
What do you mean?
When did you hire Nora?
Yesterday morning.
According to the police, that's about the time Sandra Lawrence was murdered.
Well, what of it? What in heaven's name has that to do with Nora?
Look at her, Agnes. Take a good look. Tall,
hazel eyes with flecks of green, long blonde hair. You never met her, but I can tell you, Nora is the image to the life of Sandra Lawrence.
So, through one of those strange twists that fate so often takes, Norman Meredith's nightmare became reality, as he always knew it would. I'll be back shortly.
Who will cope with tomorrow for a brighter new day? There's one hope for tomorrow, the children of today.
Information, write Save the Children, Box 120, Grand Central Station, New York.
As I said when we began, little, if anything, is known about the origin of dreams, where they come from, why they come, what they mean. I can only wish, most sincerely, for all your dreams to be happy ones. But I doubt that they will. Our cast included Kevin McCarthy, Terry Keane, Grace Matthews, and Robert Dryden. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
Now, a preview of our next tale. I began to hear a strange sound, like the flapping of a thousand wings, coming nearer and nearer.
Tony, look! The sky is black with them!
Birds. Huge birds. Martha, what are they? They're all pink and red.
I think they're flamingos. I've never seen so many birds in my life. They're coming closer and closer. Oh, Tony, you're frightened. What should we do?
I don't know.
Look out, Tony, here they come.
There's one. That big one just knocked off my glasses. I can't see.
I don't think I can fight them. There's too many of them.
Keep at it, darling. Sooner or later. Oh. Martha? What happened? Where did they go?
They?
The flamingos. The birds. They disappeared as suddenly as they came.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
KIXI AM and FM in Seattle. The weather outlook continued fair and warm through Tuesday with patchy morning fog. The highs in the lower 80s, lows in the mid-50s. No chance of rain. Wind will be northerly, 10 to 20 miles per hour. And currently in downtown Seattle at 68 degrees, the barometer holding steady, it reads 29.87. At the airport, it's 65. KIXI time, 11 p.m.
CBS News. President Ford flies to Detroit on Monday to make a speech about the world energy situation. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The president will speak in Detroit to the 9th Annual World Energy Conference. Last week, in a speech to the UN General Assembly, the president said nations must cooperate in energy and other problems or face unmanageable confrontation. President Ford leaves for Detroit after an early morning breakfast at the home of Senate Democratic leader Mike Mansfield. Mr. Ford returns to Washington Monday afternoon for a meeting with congressional leaders and a Monday night dinner with ranking members of key Senate and House committees. Mr. Ford's vice president designate is in Washington, where some senators on Monday will question him. Connie Chung has a report.
Rockefeller arrived in Washington ready to begin testifying before the Senate committee considering his confirmation. At the airport, he told reporters he's willing to divest himself of his holdings or place them in a blind trust to avoid any conflict of interest. Although Rockefeller said he sees no potential problem between his finances and the office of the vice presidency.
Is there any way that you can deal with that, though, other than divesting or putting your funds in a blind trust? Is there any way that you can deal with a potential conflict?
There is any conflict, but I'm delighted to do that should they feel that that is in the interest, if I'm confirmed.
There appears to be little chance that the committee will recommend that Rockefeller divest himself of his vast wealth of funds. Rockefeller has prepared a 72-page statement as part of his testimony, including details of his family background and financial history. Connie Chung, CBS News, Washington.
Richard Nixon enters a hospital Monday in Long Beach, California. He'll be there for at least several days undergoing treatment for the phlebitis in his left leg. The treatment is expected to include the use of anticoagulant drugs designed to try to dissolve the two blood clots in Mr. Nixon's leg. The leg has been swollen and painful. More news in a moment.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablets?
No, sinus medicine. Sinus tablets. Help the headache and the pressure.
Oh, you mean sign-off.
Exactly.
Headache pain is one thing. A sinus headache is something else. Sometimes your whole face can seem to throb with pain. You want relief. Take sign-off tablets. S-I-N-E-O-S-F. The sinus medicine that gives you a full dose of pure aspirin. Plus a sinus drainer. Sign-off, the sinus medicine that helps relieve sinus pain while you drain. And Sign-off doesn't stop there. Have you tried Sign-off sinus spray, the fastest known form of sinus congestion relief? It works in seconds. That's Sign-off sinus spray. When sinus flares up, use Sign-off tablets and spray only as directed.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sign-off.
Exactly.
Sign-off. The sinus medicine's in the bright red box.
Hurricane Fifi has left an estimated 5,000 people dead in Honduras. Tens of thousands are homeless and now face disease and starvation. International mercy operations have started. Planes from the U.S. and several other nations are arriving in Honduras. They'll try to help feed, clothe, and shelter some of the victims of the storm, as well as try to purify the country's water supplies and inoculate the people against disease. Senator Edward Kennedy is meeting with newsmen in Boston Monday morning. Kennedy aides say the senator will discuss his political future. He's expected to say whether or not he'll run for president in 1976. There is speculation in Democratic Party circles that Kennedy will announce he will not be a candidate. There is even some talk that Kennedy may resign from the Senate. Kennedy's wife, Joan, has been under treatment for mental stress recently. Last year, Kennedy's son, Edward Jr., had a leg amputated for cancer. Meeting in Toronto over the weekend, some American draft dodgers and deserters voted not to accept President Ford's conditional amnesty program. They also agreed to begin a massive campaign for unconditional amnesty. From Toronto, Steve Young has a report.
The National Committee for Universal and Unconditional Amnesty, NCUA, said will mount a massive publicity campaign and also launch a major lobbying effort. NCUA is the umbrella organization representing some 50 groups in the U.S. working for unconditional amnesty. And it is one of 11 organizations represented at the International Amnesty Conference underway at the University of Toronto. There are delegates representing American war resistors, draft evaders, and military deserters living in Canada, Sweden, England, and France. The conference has been meeting this weekend in secret session, having barred the press from all but carefully controlled news conferences or other managed events. Delegates are expected to approve by a wide margin a resolution calling for a boycott of President Ford's plan for what he calls earned reentry. Steve Young, CBS News, Toronto.
CIA Director William Colby says in an interview with Time magazine that the CIA was not involved in last year's military coup that toppled the late President Salvador Allende of Chile. But the magazine quotes Colby as saying the CIA did have a program in Chile designed to sustain what he called democratic forces. There's been strong adverse reaction in Israel to a decision by the UN General Assembly to hold a full debate during the session on the question of Palestine. Israeli newspapers have urged their government to campaign strongly against the presence of Palestinian delegates at the UN. The Israeli UN delegate spoke in vain against the Palestinian debate, saying it would come at a time when delicate peace efforts could be easily undermined. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS 4 Seattle, this is KIXI, where the time now is 6 minutes past 11.